Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, how are you holding up?
Thanks for asking, because it has been a rough week, you know, like, it was one of those games where I wasn't able to fall asleep till the middle of the night, just because I was just stewing in anger and disbelief about what I had just saw.
It was really, you couldn't see that coming at all, right?
No.
I mean, there was no way to see Daryl Gerritsen coming out and having that sort of game. I mean, if we would have been able to throw downfield the way Gerritsen was thrown downfield, oh my gosh, right? I mean,
they were throwing a lot, and he only had 6 incompletions the entire game.
That's unbelievable.
And a lot of deep balls. Like, that guy, if he had a guy deep, he didn't miss him. Like, we got torched in every aspect of the game, and we got outcoached. I did not see that coming.
How much of it was coaching? Because my thing is if you take a look at it, you know, the coach isn't the one who fumbled it. The coach isn't the one who jumped off sides when they're going for the field goal. The coach didn't allow the 83-yard touchdown pass. The coach, you know what I mean? It just over and over.
I think only a small percent. It's not on the coaches. I'm not insinuating that at all. But I do. The fan in me has noticed and is worried that it seems like we're getting worse defensively. So my fears before the season that Bronco giving up the defensive play calling was gonna backfire, I'm not ready to say that yet. But I mean, any honest fan would have to admit that they have that worry at this point, that Bronco's influence has taken a step back.
Right.
And that his genius is defense, and that we're not seeing that this year.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, you know, when he kind of does take that step back, it does seem like the intensity level or whatever it is, right? I defended the defense coming into that Utah State game, and, you know, a lot of what they did in the second half was good.
Yeah, they only gave up a touchdown in the second half.
Yeah. That being said, they still lost in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. We lost 7-6. Yeah.
So, you know, okay, so answer me this, and I think you might disagree with me. Let's say Taysom Hill is healthy the entire game. Who wins?
You know, as a BYU fan, of course I'd want to say BYU, but at the same time, it's not like Taysom gave up 35. It's not like he playing would have – we still gave up 35 points.
Right.
And they could have scored more in the second half, but they were kind of already in hold-on mode.
Right.
It would have been a different game for sure, and all of our listeners that are avid BYU fans aren't liking hearing this, but I can't put that. I laughed at Utah State fans last year for them saying that
it was all Chucky got hurt.
Because we were beating them when Chucky got hurt.
Right.
And we would have beat him with or without Chucky last year. And so, but now I'm in that same dilemma. We were losing when Taysom got hurt,
right,
and they were scoring. They were driving on our defense at will. And so I'm not in a position to say that that's why we lost. Surely that hurt us.
Yeah, absolutely it hurt us. But, you know, what else can you do? You know, I just thought it was a perfect storm of mistakes. I thought that, you know, I mean, even Taysom and Jamal had the awkward, you know, fumble on the handoff. I think they got charged to Taysom. I think that, you know, the defense only forced a punt once in the first half. I think that there were several problems throughout that game. And you know, I just think that perfect storm. And one of the things that a lot of times people underestimate, right, is winning them all. I mean, you got to win 12 times in a row. You know, even if you go to the Nickelcade, pick any of the games, go in there and try to win it 12 times in a row, it's hard, right? It's just not easy to win every single game.
I mean, this is cliche, but football is so mental and it's so emotional that it's really hard to be on that level every week in a row. And that's what I really think happened to us this week, that we came in overconfident.
Right.
And that Utah State was the opposite. They were coming after getting embarrassed by losing to a team called Arkansas State that most fans didn't know existed.
Right.
And with a chip on their shoulder where this was their season. They win this game. They've got bragging rights this year.
Well, and it sets them up now. Now they're in the Mountain West Conference. They can try to make some noise in that Mountain West Conference.
And it was just the perfect storm is probably the right phrase. That just things, we had key screw-ups at pivotal points.
And everything went wrong. Poor Christian Stewart came in. He did everything he could do. That first drive out of the second half went great. And Jordan Leslie made a great individual play and started running and almost got in the end zone. Cougars were 9 yards away. And then we went straight back to Jordan Leslie, and he had the tip, the dropped pass. I mean, it was right to him.
And he throws to the other guy.
And then it got basically gift wrapped to Utah State. That to me was the backbreaker. That was the big moment.
Yeah.
And once that happened, it changed the narrative so much. If the Cougars would have been able to score with Christian Stewart right then and there, they cut it to 7. And then, on the sidelines, you've got this guy, let's rally around him, let's go. And instead, his best wide receiver, the senior, he made a mistake, and it really, really punished the psyche of Stewart and the rest of the team the rest of the way. And it felt like after that we got a lot of Christian Stewart, kind of pressing.
We had to pass. It changed the dynamic for we couldn't run. We couldn't be two-dimensional. We had to be score fast, throw the ball down the field. And
right.
For a guy that hasn't played before at this level to be put in that, it was ugly.
The other thing is BYU hadn't had to play from behind very much at all throughout the season. And so that was kind of an interesting thing. But, two of the interceptions that Christian Stewart gave up were what I described as Riley plays, where Riley plays are, referring to Riley Nelson.
I don't even think you need to explain. Everyone knows what a Riley play is.
Yeah. He was just trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
He was in a position, his team was down. He wasn't getting blocked for very well. His receivers weren't going out and making plays for him. And so he was trying to force it, and it didn't happen. And, none of these receivers did the Cody Hoffman thing, which is, I'm going to go and go and grab that ball. I guess Mitch Matthews had one catch like that. But,
yep.
Boy, he struggled. And, 10 for 29 passing?
A passer rating of a single digit of 8.9.
8.9 passer rating. So it went about as bad as it could, right? I mean, it just didn't go very well at all. So now they have UCF coming up. And this, of course, has been a game that everybody has been nervous about all year. East Coast, short week, game on Thursday, right after conference. So no practice on Saturday, no practice on Sunday. It's Monday today. So they got practice today and tomorrow. I'm assuming Wednesday they travel.
Yeah, well, they'd have to. Maybe they're traveling Tuesday.
Yeah, possible. And then they got their game on Thursday. So, wow. I mean, it's going to be very tough. And let's talk a little about the UCF Knights, Central Florida.
So going into the season, I would as BYU fans were circling games they were worried about.
Yeah.
Texas and UCF were the common two.
Universally accepted as one of the tough games.
For sure. And they are they have athletes. Last year, they came off an undefeated BCS
right
year. And they got a lot of those guys returning. Bortles is the big missing guy, and people have already kind of written them off because they dropped two games this year. But if you look at their schedule, they have played some tough teams.
Well, and tough scenarios. First of all, they got beat. I think it was a field goal at the very last play that lost to Penn State. Penn State went on to be 4-1 this year. Then in their next game, they played SEC team. They got Missouri, right?
Mm-hmm.
They played Missouri, and Missouri has been a top 25 team. Missouri's 4-1 on the year. And so they dropped to Missouri. What was the score in that? You got that there?
Yeah. It was 38-10. So they got their butts kicked by Missouri.
So they got taken pretty good by Missouri. And then they had, you know, everybody's got a cupcake. So Bethune-Cookman, they did just fine against them. And then they played Houston last week. And that was a tough game, right? But I have a healthy dose of respect for Houston. I think a win over Houston is a good win.
Yeah. And it was a defensive battle. But that's been UCF's year this year's defense. Like, their defense has played really well. Their offense has played horribly. But it's hard to say when they get into their heart of their schedule and they're not just playing pretty decent big schools,
right,
on how their offense will really be able to play.
Well, that's the thing is we don't know what they are. Their offense is, yeah, like you said, I mean, really bad. I think their rush offense is in the 90s. Their pass offense is in the 100s this year. National rankings. I mean, they're really have struggled on the offensive side of the ball.
And if we look at even the players to kind of back that up, so their quarterback, Justin Holman, he's thrown for 659 yards this year,
right,
which you look at that four games and he hasn't got over 700 yards yet. That's right. Pretty sad.
That's not going well.
And then so you think, well, maybe they're a running team, but their leading rusher, William Standback, he has 181 yards.
Right.
They are running by committee.
So like 45 yards a game, right?
Yeah. But he's their best guy, and a lot of guys have got rushes, but I think that's more that they've just been looking to find somebody that can do it. There's no one. They're not running for a good average. Their offense has looked bad, but they're still 2-2. They're one offensive player that has put up good numbers this year, a guy named Brashad Perriman, a receiver who has 258 yards, only 9 receptions, but he's averaging an astounding like 30-yard average per catch. That's going to be a player to watch to see if BYU's secondary can actually start defending guys.
You know what's hilarious right now is if I was UCF, you know how usually we're like, okay, well, they're going to pick on this side of the field? You can kind of look at it and be like, we can run double moves either side. Like, yeah. And it doesn't matter who they line up against you. We feel really good. And it's funny because there's been so much confidence by you and by a lot of people in Cougar Nation that this has been a really strong secondary with corners that can cover. And so we're wondering, we got in our pre-pod, we talked a little bit about what happened to Rob Daniel. You know, he's gotten beat a few times and it was bad. I mean, he was beat by yards. And Jordan Johnson has struggled this year anyway. We talked about that in our last week's show. You know, and Prater is young and new, right? And
what we decided, I think that Robertson Daniels being just asked to do more this year.
Yeah.
That last year he was asked to cover a smaller amount of field. And so that's a struggle. Bills has been the only guy that if you're the only other team, that's the only secondary guy that you have your eye on is
right.
Is Bills, who Bills has played great. I think that one fix and I would say is more Mike Davis.
And now that Down Levitt's out too, right?
I mean, yeah.
He's going to miss this game.
Yeah.
So so it's Sky, right? He'll be playing back there.
It's got to be Sky Covey. And he's played better this year than last year.
Yes.
But it's no one that we think strikes fear
right.
in so, the opposing but, offense.
And you were about to say, though, Mike Davis is where you'd like to see things. He's maybe a solution. I mean, can he hurt at this point? He can give you the same. He can get beat by 5 or 6 yards too.
Yeah, I don't know what the coaches are seeing in practice. Granted, but in game scenarios, he's played great.
Right,
like defending the pass, it even defending the run. He has not got burned all year, and he's I'd like to see him starting over Jordan Johnson or Prater. If the coaches call me and ask, that's the advice I'm going to give.
So secondary woes have been well covered, and a lot of people are going to be talking about that, and then for good reason. One of the things that I think needs to be discussed is we can't defend the outside on the run. All the Utah State runs seem to me to be called up the middle, and then the running back would be plugged up.
Yeah.
And then he would bounce outside, and there was no contain on the edge. And I also think that the majority of the time ran to Bronson's side of the field and were beating Bronson to the edge. Do you agree with that assessment or no?
No, I agree that they were running to the outside. I didn't watch it closely enough to see who they were picking on, but you're right. Their inside runs would end up outside, but they did have some very successful just called outside runs. They did some fly sweeps
right.
that they were getting 15, 20 yards right. on.
But that's outside. I mean, outside linebacker or the
D-end. One of those guys D-end. Has contain, and we don't know who on this given play, but whoever it is. But every aspect of last game was bad, and so I just look at our recent D right. has sadly looked bad versus the UCF's O has looked bad. That's going to be an interesting matchup to me. Is the battle of the bad?
The
this
battle
season.
Of the bad units. And the other thing, though, one of the questions I asked you before was, do we really know who UCF is?
No idea.
Like, I mean, they've played only four games this year, and they...
One was in Ireland, right?
One was in Ireland.
That's got to change
know,
things
they've
a little
lost
bit.
To two good teams, and they beat Houston, right? You throw out the other game. What can you learn from, like, analyzing Bethune-Cookman?
Nothing.
What do they do well on offense, right? I guess they can throw downfield, and they have a little bit of guts in them, right? They've got it out. They've been in some close games, and they went 1-1 in those. And I just, but it's like, what does their offense do well? We don't really know at this point. They're still trying to figure that out themselves. So that'll help this BYU defense.
For sure. I agree. The thing that I have my eye on more is the other matchup of our offense versus their defense. I think they have legit NFL guys on their defense, which is worrisome when we have – I have confidence in Christian Stewart, but it's not ideal for this to be really his first start.
Well, right. So let's talk about Christian Stewart for a minute and that BYU offense. So you like Christian Stewart.
I always have. I mean, even going back to last year, watching him, that he's thrown the best ball in practice out of any of the quarterbacks. And as seen last game, he's more athletic than people give him credit. He's no Taysom.
Right.
But he's not just a drop back passer. He can move if needs be.
Yeah, and I thought that Stewart actually responded well early in the game, and then when he felt like there was this mode where I felt like he needed to, where he started to push more because he felt like he had to win it. BYU is a team that was constructed on a quarterback going out and winning the game, and I feel like Christian Stewart kind of realized that. You know, as the game went on, he said, I can't put this in the hands of Jordan Leslie or Jamal or whoever. It's in my hands, and I got to win it. And when he started doing that, like I said, the Riley play started showing up, and it was his first chance to play, and you can't be the playmaker in your very first D1, real D1 action. And it just further solidifies the thing that you and I have talked about, though. When you have garbage time and Christian Stewart can go out on the field and it's that garbage time, it's like you should have him throw.
Agreed.
Like maybe he doesn't overthrow so terribly the next time we go.
Because he's played in
out.
A D1 game throwing the ball.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. All he ever did was hand off. So, okay. So my question to you then is, will the identity of this football team change with the change from Taysom to Christian Stewart? Because, and I guess the second question is, and should it, right? Because you've heard Bronco kind of specify that, you know, they've trained Christian Stewart to do the offense in the same way that Taysom's been doing the offense. You've got a little time to prepare at this point, but as the season goes along, do you see kind of the identity of this team switching?
Slight. But not as much as people would think. Like, I think going, especially this game, and from the coaches have said, and on a short week, we're going to run the same plays. And I think, is pretty sold on running a read option offense. And so I still see a lot of those plays. The difference is going to be is that Christian is no Taysom.
Well, yeah.
And so
right. I
think he's going to give a lot more on that read option than Taysom has. And then also...
Well,
he's going to look to pass more. We saw that even on his one, even though it ended in a pick, even when he's in scramble mode, he's naturally a passer first, and so he's going to look down the field, I think, and find receivers.
Well, and he's willing to kind of wing it and let his receiver go make a play. Here's the big question: is there a receiver on this team that can go out and make the big play?
Yeah. We have a couple that you'd say maybe about, but no one that's proven it game in and game out.
Hasn't shown to kind of play out that way yet.
Leslie had what I call his best game and worst game,
yeah.
Or else we'd say him, but he had some key missed plays, but he also statistically...
He caught a lot of yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mitch Matthews, he might be a guy that can go out and make a play for you.
To him, you know, he for sure can, except when teams have really athletic guys that can jam him at the line, he just disappears.
Yeah.
He's killed Utah State 2 years in a row because they don't have anyone that can stop him at the line. But that's where, when he's disappeared in big games, that's what happens to him, is guys can jam him at the line, get him off his timing, and he just, you don't even see from him.
So, and then, you know, in your opinion, do you think, in your opinion, though, so you said that there'll be a slight change, but what would you do, personally?
This game, against UCF, I don't do anything. But then after going forward, I would like to see actually more, you know, I don't know. That's a tough question. I think I would use more Algie Brown than they at least did last game. If he's healthy, we need another pass catcher out there.
Well, and that was one of the things that I, you know, they started the season off with UConn and Texas. They were throwing to the running backs. Hine caught several passes, even CK, and, of course, Algernon Brown. And we haven't really been throwing to our running backs in this homestand. You know, in the last three games, we haven't really used that as a weapon. Part of that's Algernon Brown being out. But I don't really get that. You know, Hine is dynamite, right? I mean, he's a guy that can make a play for you.
You got to get the ball in that guy's hands more than we have lately. Well, here's what I would do. That when Kurtz gets fully back,
yep,
that I would play a lot more four receiver sets. And even do some five, you know, where you split the running back out.
Haven't seen that yet. Yeah.
And that really put some pressure, as they said before this year, that they were going to try to push spread team defenses out and push them back. That's how they do that. And that Stewart has an arm that teams have to respect.
Right.
And I would love to see them just throw in a different wrinkle, catch a team off guard with a lot more receiver sets.
Yeah. And I think I would tweak what they're doing quite a bit, because you can't do run option in my mind. You can't run quarterback draw because you can't have Christian Stewart running. Because if he gets hit, now he's out. Okay.
And
pop quiz, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you listening, tell me who the third string quarterback is for BYU this year.
So now our second string.
And now he's the second string, right?
No one's really sure.
No one's really sure, right? It's between McCoy Hill, he's a freshman, Hayden Griffiths, he's a freshman, and Hunter Moore, he's a freshman. And none of them have distinguished themselves to a point where it's abundantly obvious by searching the internet, right, and looking for who they've named to be that third guy. So... Personally, I'd rather see Christian Stewart on the. We're at, you know, and so now it's Christian Stewart all the way. If Christian Stewart gets hurt, now it's a catastrophe.
Yeah,
total derailed.
No doubt about it.
And so you can't have him run. You can't do this. And I know that he'll run against UCF because they don't have time to restructure it. But you've got to protect number seven. Have to.
And that brings up the real last matchup I wanted to talk about versus UCF, is that our O-line has played better this year, but this is going to be, I think, their biggest test up to this point.
Right.
Is that UCF's defense is really good, specifically their D-line. They sacked Houston five times.
Woo!
You know, we're coming off of, we can't get to any quarterback. They get them five times. One guy, Gerald Mamea, had three sacks coming from a D-line position. And then they have another guy, Thomas Niles. He's had sacks in five straight games going back to last season.
Mm.
From the D-line position, they can put some real pressure on a quarterback. And again, that's a matchup this week that if we have a chance to win, we need to have our new fresh quarterback have some time and be comfortable in that pocket.
Yes, and you know, more than 1 in 3 pass dropbacks with Taysom as the quarterback resulted in pressure so that he had to scramble, throw away, or a sack. So it's absolutely going to be key with that pressure from that Central Florida D-line. You know, that's going to be a problem. And it was a problem against Virginia, and they had a chance to see that. And we think that these guys are even going to be more pressure than what the Virginia D-line gave.
I do. I mean, Virginia's D-line was great, but I really think this is the best D-line that we'll face this year.
Okay. Are you ready?
I was born ready.
10 for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. Question number one. Taysom Hill has had, up to this point in his career, 3 300-yard passing games. How many will Christian Stewart have over the next 8 games? That's assuming a bowl game appearance.
I'm going to go same. No, I bet 3. I think that there's going to be a learning curve with Christian, but I think that in the next 8, he'll have 3 games where things are clicking and he's lighting it up passing the ball.
Question number 2, how many wins does BYU need to get without, I guess this is assuming, without losing to get back into the top 25?
As a BYU fan, I actually think about this question a lot, because not being in a conference, one thing that I still gain joy from is just seeing where we're at ranking-wise. Even with a loss, we still have a lot to play for, and one of those things is where do we end up ranked? And so I think if we go in and beat UCF, and then the next following week we beat Boise, both of which are ESPN games, that if that happens, that I think we find ourselves ranked. So the answer to that is 2 games. I think we win the next 2, we're ranked.
I think they got to get to 9. I think they're going to really hold it against them, that Utah State game.
But so many teams lost this last week that I think people will forget about it. We have some good showings on ESPN. I hope I'm right that we're back in the top 25.
Question number 3, over or under BYU getting 2.5 sacks versus Central Florida?
I don't know how I could choose over. As sad as that is, I think it's got to be under. We can't get pressure on quarterbacks. I watch a lot of football.
Right.
I haven't seen a team this year that is worse at getting pressure on the quarterback than BYU has been.
And do you think that's – I mean, Alani Fua's out now too. So
yep, hurt ankle.
So, you know, we're going to see Hines. We're going to see Warner. We're going to see some of these guys on that outside. But – you know, we've seen a little bit of both of them, and they haven't been able to get there either. Bronson Kafusi returned. That was supposed to be the solution. It didn't look that way.
No.
And what's to say that offensive line at Utah State, you know, is light years better than the one that we're going to play in Florida?
That was Utah State's weakness going into the game that looked like their absolute strength. We were doing 5-man rushes, and they were blocking with 5, and we couldn't get a guy. None of our 5 could beat his man.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with 1 sack is my prediction against UCF.
And do you suggest, how do you feel about the Bronson as outside linebacker project? How's that gone?
It's just still yet to be determined, because that ankle injury is just, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think
okay.
He's back and stuff.
So there's only been like 3 games for him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think you're fair. Wait and see. Number 4, does Jamal Williams average more or less yards per game now that Taysom Hill is out?
You could make arguments both directions, but I am going to go with that he will have more yards, mainly because they're still going to run a lot of read option, and I think Stewart is just going to give the ball to Jamal a lot more than Taysom has. And Jamal's had a great year, even though statistically he just hasn't had the attempts that I'm sure he would like to have. But I think he'll start getting those attempts and thus getting more yards.
BYU tends to win when he has 15 or more rushes per game. They're going to have to start pounding it with Jamal all the time, I would think.
I think that's their new formula, is run in the beginning, try to get a lead. And so Jamal's going to get more.
That was one of the problems, by the way. They got in the red zone against the Aggies. It turned into a field goal. But they got to the 10-yard line, and they passed 3 times and then kicked the field goal. They shouldn't have done that. They should have let Jamal run and have him run 3 times. I think he would have gotten it. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay, number five. How many rushing attempts does Christian Stewart have?
Too many for what fans want to see, but I'm going to go with eight.
Okay.
That I think that he's going to have to keep the ball sometimes in order to keep defenses honest. And as we saw, you know, he's not afraid to run. He's a slider. He'll slide when he gets to the guy. But I think that he can run for a decent clip and have 8 yards this game, 8 attempts this game.
8 attempts, okay. Question number six. How many Riley plays does Christian Stewart have? He had 2 against Utah State.
I'm going to go with 1. That I think that his nature and his past is that he has been able to throw for big yards. And I think that there's a lot of quarterbacks that have made a lot of money with being guys that sometimes force it. And I think he's got that a little bit. I bet you that as we're watching this game, we see one play where it's like a Riley pass. And that's not a total shot on Riley. Some of that is just to throw that up to give your guy a chance. But sometimes that ends poorly.
So you think somebody might ask Christian Stewart, you know, who was your favorite quarterback growing up? He might say Brett Favre.
He might, yeah. Or he might show his abs just to represent Riley Nelson.
I hope not. Question number 7. What will be the run-pass ratio for the BYU offense this game?
50-50, which...
balanced.
That's a lot more running than I think that most people would think with Christian, but I think that the coaching staff into this game is going to...
Well, they're not behind, so they definitely can run a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've seen one half of Christian Stewart, and he passed a lot, but that was because
they were
behind.
Down 14.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's balanced. I see that they run to start the game with a heavy dose of run, and then as UCF adjusts, then they start passing more.
All right, question number 8. Under or over 265 pass yards for Christian Stewart?
Under. I think he has a respectable game, but I'm thinking somewhere between the 230 and 250 range.
I think he has to go over if BYU is going to win.
Really? You don't think 250 could get the win?
I think he's got to go over.
We should mark this because I'm predicting 250 and that we have a pretty good game.
All right, question number 9. Obviously, Disney World is down there. Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, or Hollywood Studios. Which of these will be Bronco's favorite?
I think Bronco's going to spend a lot of time in Hollywood Studios. Because if you were to say one word that describes Bronco, it would be Hollywood.
Hollywood. 100%.
In college, they called him Hollywood Mendenhall.
Hollywood, yeah.
And then he married a Holly, I think, based off of that.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% on that. He might come back with bleach blonde hair and then start growing the black beard. Anyway, look like Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Okay, and question number 9. Friday morning headline after the UCF BYU game.
What a night.
Oh.
And BYU wins.
Okay, all right, what a night. Comma, BYU wins. All right, there it is. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. And, all right, so Tosh, one of the things that I wanted to take a second to talk about is I caught a lot of heat this last week.
For a tweet?
Yeah, I tweeted out something that got me in trouble, but it shouldn't have. But what it was is, and I understand why people like freaked out, but I tweeted out that Nick Kurtz re-injured his foot. And that he wouldn't play against Utah State, right?
Yeah, I remember the tweet. It got a lot of buzz.
No, it got a lot of buzz. I was like amazed at how much buzz it got because I'm just the lowly, you know, Twitter guy.
You're the host of the show.
I'm the host of the show, but I was surprised at how widespread and well acquainted everybody became with that tweet. I was also surprised to see people who were copying it and trying to act like they were the ones reporting that as well. And, of course, they were the ones who then people would ask them questions and they'd, like, try to answer it and stuff. I never answered anybody's questions. I just let the tweet speak for itself. So, number one, I made a mistake on that tweet, right? There's only one part of the tweet I would have changed. Instead of re-injured, I think that gave the wrong impression to people. I would have put tweaked.
Okay, that
he tweaked his injury. He won't play against Utah State. Okay, so here's the thing. I still stand by that. I had a good source on it. the source came from within the team, okay? And all I just, it was a really good source. And this person had done right by me in the past, right? However, so I decided to go with it. And I think that one of the reasons you ought to follow me, one of the reasons you listen to the show, one of the things that, you know, why you should read me on Vanquish the Foe is that if I have something that I feel good about, I'm willing to kind of throw it out there. And Twitter's sort of the best venue for me to do that because, again, I can't reveal the source or else... See, this is the catch-22. If I talk about who the source is and stuff, then that person gets in trouble and then I don't get sources and stuff. And so you can't go down that road. So the point is this is the information I got and I still stand by it. Now, I understand that Nick Kurtz stepped on the field.
For how many total seconds?
Two plays for a total of 7 seconds of action. Christian Stewart never looked his way, and he came in when there was 2 minutes left and the Cougars were down by 15. On those two plays, he ran streaks where he immediately allowed, after getting jammed at the line, he went out of bounds, causing an illegal touching call. So even if they threw the ball to him, it wouldn't have counted. And as soon as he went out of bounds, the defender got away from him, right?
So, yeah, I think it's obvious to any intelligent person that was watching that...
Nick Kurtz didn't play.
Yeah, and that he wasn't right, or else he would have played. My only question is...
They think he's a great player, right? They were in the second half. They almost exclusively needed to pass at this point, right? And if you've got a weapon that is sought after by USC and is as good and they talk so highly of... And he's a playmaker, and he's a guy that can make the difference.
That was probably our best receiver in fall camp.
Why wouldn't you put him in?
Yeah. And it's obviously not right. The question I have is, why did they put him in for a couple plays? And me and you talking with each other and other people, we came to the conclusion that it might have been a showing to him that, hey, we're not redshirting you. We're playing you this year. By putting you in for these couple meaningless plays, it's a... an olive branch to you saying we're going to keep our word.
You don't want to be redshirted. You're not interested in living Provo for another extra year, so we're not going to redshirt you. We're going to let you get in. And had they kept him out of the game, BYU would still have the prerogative, if they wanted to seek a redshirt and mm-hmm. file for redshirt for him, right? But it was a show of good faith from the coaching staff to reassure him that he wasn't going to do it. So he came in. They didn't even look his way. He took two plays, right, which made it so that he can't qualify for redshirt going forward. He came off the field immediately, and they played the rest of the way without him, right? But he did come on the field for two quick plays. So I'll admit, does that mean that he played? I guess technically yes. But anyone logically speaking, no, he didn't. So I stand by the tweet. The source was right. Okay, and the reason he didn't play was because his foot wasn't feeling great.
Agreed, yeah. And I think that's what... Who follows people on Twitter that are afraid to put out information? Not me. Like, and so I think that... I would hope that you'd continue, even with the haters, that when you get good sources to share that with our listeners.
Now, I understand it exists in sort of this dodgy world where I can't go out with an official source and stuff, but when you talk with BYU in particular, right, or just in college sports in general, but BYU is particularly quite, you know, tight-lipped, right? But the bottom line is he was cleared to go out on the field, and he did, but the reason he didn't play was because his foot was tweaked in an injury. And the crazy part, Tosh, is how much attention that got. I mean, people who work at KSL were like blasting me. I've had a lot of people blast me and try to make me look silly and stuff like that. And I have yet to have anybody who criticized me come back afterwards and say, "Whoa, he didn't play."
Yeah.
Or they've tried to come to me and say, "See, he played two plays." Anyway, it's just an interesting thing. Okay, now just thought it would be an interesting talk topic,
and
gives people an opportunity to understand what's going on there.
And to realize that if they're not following you on Twitter, they're missing some controversy.
So if you're listening, follow me at CougarCast, and sometimes we're going to put out little nuggets like that if we think that the source is being upfront and legitimate with us, and. We had a very strong, very close to the scenario source. That's it. And that's why I went with it. So there it is. Generally speaking, I don't put out stuff like that, but when I get the opportunity, I'm going to. So you should follow me. And by the way, I stand by it, and I think it was right. Okay, Tosh, and now... All right, Tosh, why do we hate the Central Florida Knights?
A lot of reasons. No, that's not entirely true. But my biggest one is that being a man named Tosh, there's not many of us out there, but in the last few years, I have had the annoyance of I say, oh, hi, my name's Tosh, and then I can see this look in their eyes if they just thought of a really funny joke. And they say with a smirk as if they are so clever, oh, like Tosh.0. And and I just nod. Oh yeah, exactly. A man named Daniel Tosh has.
It's
kind
not
of,
even his first name.
No, and it has hurt my name. I mean, I've name of the year. You know, as you mentioned every show. So Daniel Tosh has kind of taken away a little bit of that from me. Where did Daniel Tosh go to school? UCF.
Oh.
So this is really to me
so
as an
you,
alumni of BYU.
Yeah.
This is personal. The battle of the Toshes. And that now, because of the popularity of this show,
yeah.
I'm sure Daniel Tosh, everyone says, oh, what's your name? He says, Daniel Tosh. Oh, like Tosh on Cougar Cast.
Yeah, like Tosh McIntosh.
And so this game has taken on a whole new meaning.
100%, I'm on board. If you like the Cougars, if you like Tosh more than Daniel Tosh, you'll be devastated if we drop this game.
Exactly.
In Orlando. I think that's a brilliant, brilliant reason to hate. As somebody who has people make stupid jokes about his name all the time because my last name is Shirts, you know, it's like, oh, look, my name's Devin Ty. You know, it's like, where's Pants? You know, you get stupid stuff like that all the time. So, yes, I can appreciate that. So that's a great, great reason to hate. And the other good thing, of course, being a BYU fan is, you know, it's not, you know, I was grateful after such a tough night to be able to sit back, watch a little general conference.
That is true.
And get some of that mojo going through my system. And one of the things that is great about being a BYU fan is that it's not just about what happens on the field. It's about what happens off the field. And so now it's time to announce what Broncos Fireside Talk is going to be. And this week, the Fireside Talk has a pun in it. Broncos getting a little pun-tastic this week. And I don't know if it... Maybe... I think it's actually his talk writer. I'm not sure he wrote this one.
Maybe his wife.
But... Because well, I got it. When I tried to go to my normal source to get it, I didn't get it from that person. They said, oh, so I think somebody else is in charge of it this week. Controversy.
Jeez, yeah.
A little controversy. But I still think he'll agree with the sentiment. The title of the Fireside Talk, a day, a night, and a day, but it will be as if one day. Fantastic.
Yeah. And that should be a good message for both BYU and UCF fans.
It should be a fantastic opportunity to recommit yourself to becoming a better person after hearing that talk.
So what's your prediction this week?
My prediction this week, I just think team in turmoil. I think UCF is better than what people are kind of giving them credit for. I see us more in, especially with Taysom Hill out, I see us more in the Houston range than I do the Missouri-Penn State range. I think East Coast, short week. I think all the red flags are there. I really do. And I think that you've only got a couple days to get things together with Christian Stewart. You know, what if he goes down? I mean, that's, I think it's a possibility. I feel like the mojo's bad. I think that they're going to come out, they're going to press. It's like when BYU, here's my doppelganger for this game. When BYU had Brandon Davies get suspended, the next game, they went out and played New Mexico at home. And they pressed way hard. And everybody was trying so hard to make things happen. And it wasn't quite happening for them, right? And I just kind of feel like we're going to experience the same sort of thing. BYU ended up getting spanked that night by New Mexico in the Marriott Center. And I kind of feel like it's not going to go great. But I don't think the UCF can score. I don't think they can score a lot of points. So it'll be kind of a UCF mauling, if that makes sense. I think they'll get to 24, and I think the Cougars will be like 13. So 24-13, I think UCF's going to win.
So the Vegas line is Central Florida by 3, which I'm no gambler, but what I've heard is that the home team always just gets like a 3-point edge.
Yeah.
So if this was on a neutral side, it would appear that Vegas would be saying, yeah, who knows who's going to win. What I'm going on a different kind of analogy. I think that even just the analogy we just saw, that Utah State was coming off of...
Nobody believes in this analogy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And an embarrassing loss where they're thinking about it all week. Every player is looking at what they did wrong, how much more talented we were, but yet still we just played horribly collectively and individually, that we come out against UCF and guys are dialed in. It's kind of every man, just make sure you're doing your position right, and that we really jump out on these guys and just play our best game of the year is what I have talked myself into that is going to happen. And I see...
Plus, you love Christian Stewart.
I do. I have been his number one fan for 2 years
now. No, his mother sent you a tray of cookies. She heard the nice things you said about him on our show.
That is not true, but she probably... Well, they didn't get to my house, but yeah. I bet she tried.
No.
So this... I'm going to go crazy here. So I am going on record, BYU 35 and UCF 17.
35-17. Okay. BYU, East Coast.
East Coast.
Short week. Disney World.
That Leslie plays out of his mind in particular.
Okay.
And that Jamal and Leslie are the players of the games.
So, well, and they have to have that. I mean, right? I mean, if it's like the thing I said before. You can't have your... Kristen Stewart can't be the guy that's winning the game for you, right?
He's got to, at least in these first few games, be a game manager.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying, though. If he's a game manager, then someone else has got to go out and win it for you. All right. And if Jamal is really the guy, I mean, he'll have to show it. He's going to get a chance over these next 8 games. Tosh, one last question for you. With Stewart in, final 8 games, a few weak games in there, but what's their record over the final 8 games? What do you think?
I think we go 7-1.
Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Wow.
This game will decide if I am a crazy man or if I am right on the money, but I think we go 7-1.
What's the one loss?
Either
Boise, Cal, bowl game.
No, I go either UCF or Cal.
Nevada? They look a little frisky.
Nevada beat Washington State, who now looks good all of a sudden. But no, I'm one loss, and I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be UCF, so Cal is the game that scares me. But I think that BYU goes on another run of wins, re-energizes the fan base, re-gets us in the top 25, and we got a scary game to end the year.
I'll tell you what, everything will change if, now that they've lost Captain Taysom Hill, if senior leader Christian Stewart gets in there and he's like,
"Look at me, short. Look at me, short. I'm the captain now."
If he does that, I think things might go really well the rest of the way. All right, thanks for listening. Follow us at CougarCast on Twitter. Send your emails to CougarCast@gmail.com and give us a rating on iTunes. We'd appreciate that. Have a good week. Enjoy the game on Thursday. Last thought?
Yeah, I'm glad that it's a short week so we can get this bad taste out of our mouth.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!